Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Monday, December 23rd, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And man, what an annoying Monday I feel like this feels like. It's almost Christmas. You probably are at work today. And that Eagles game was, you know, I was driving home from Washington after the game, nice little 2.5 hour drive, and gave me a lot of time to think about the game after the post game, after being in the locker room. And it's kind of like I kind of left the car feeling how I did on the postgame pod, which is I really don't think it was a big, like, alarming loss. I think there's definitely things that were annoying from it, things they could have prevented. And I think there are, like, some, you know, things they're going to want to work on for sure if they're going to reach the ultimate goal, which is making the Super Bowl and winning it this time. But I think in some ways too, like, there were more positives from this game, or at least one major positive that I think outweighs the negative. So we're going to get into a lot of stuff on this daily pod, a jam-packed Monday morning daily pod. Of course, as always, we're going to start with what's on the schedule, an update on some of the injured players, Devontae talking about that crucial drop, go over some of the mistakes that lost them the game, really uncharacteristic mistakes that lost the game. The referees explained why they, in my opinion, unfairly threw Chauncey Gardner-Johnson out of the game. And then I want to dive a little deeper into Kenny Pickett's play and just, I haven't had a chance to rewatch a game yet, but just give some more thoughts on how I thought he played. So first up, as we always do, what to keep an eye out for today. Nick Sirianni scheduled to speak to the media at 3:15. I wouldn't expect much of an update on Jalen Hurts. He's in the concussion protocol. He's not going to clear it by tomorrow. So I wouldn't expect a ton of big-time injury news updates, but it'll be interesting to see or hear what Sirianni had to say about Kenny Pickett, what he thought of some of the mistakes, what his message to the team was. So always good to hear from Nick Sirianni. And of course, we'll play some of those quotes for you on the Daily Pod on Tuesday morning when it'll be Christmas Eve, which is pretty wild. All right, outside of that, the injury report, obviously Jalen Hurts leaves the game against Washington with a concussion. Was playing well, I thought, prior to going down. Obviously, I think he had one or two throws he would have liked backed. I think he was one of four when he went out, but they were moving the ball. I thought he was doing a good job moving the ball with his legs. They were very much, in my opinion, going to go up 14-0, even if he stayed in the game. So it was a real shame to see him go down outside of just, you know, you hate to see him get a concussion. For the game, I think they would have won the game fairly easily and, you know, probably by, well, they lost, but I think they would have been in control of that game way more if Jalen Hurts would have been able to stay in. So unfortunate that that happened. Now, maybe throughout the week, we'll get more details as to how that transpired with him coming out of the injury tent, feeling he could go in, being told he couldn't go in, trying to go in, and then eventually go into the locker room before he did not come back from the locker room. So did see him after the game briefly. He had on sunglasses, you know, so we'll see. We will find out, if his status for Sunday, if he's going to play, if he's not going to play. I do think that, you know, as I've said on this pod many times, like, it's hard for players with a concussion that they get it on Sunday to play the following Sunday. Now, I think there's definitely a chance he will, but it's no guarantee, in my opinion, that he does play. It's out of their hands now. Like, he's in the concussion protocol, so he has to get through that protocol and pass all those steps for him to play next week. So outside of that, Will Shipley also in the concussion protocol. He left the game and didn't return. Josh Sweat had an ankle injury. He did return late in the game, which is pretty rare. You don't often see a player miss a ton of time and then come back, but he did return. And then Jordan Davis was slow to get up. He didn't get an injury designation, so just something to keep an eye on with him throughout the week. All right, let's get into it. And I did want to start with really the killer play of the game, the DeVonta Smith drop. So obviously it's 3rd and 5. The Eagles have the ball just inside of the 2-minute warning, or I should say just about to be the 2-minute warning. They get that first down. Washington has one timeout. They have the 2-minute warning. In theory, if the Eagles don't score a touchdown, they very well could have scored a touchdown. They would have been like inside the 10, I'm pretty sure. At least, you know, they would have been closer, obviously, if he caught it. You know, Washington does have the 2-minute warning. They have the timeout. Maybe Washington gets it back with 30 seconds to go or something like that. But they certainly, been very, very real chance they don't get the ball back. And a very real chance the Eagles win the game if DeVonta catches that ball. So DeVonta was asked about it after the game. And much as you would expect, he was, you know, stood up, talked about it, didn't mince words. And here's what DeVonta had to say.
I ain't going
to
beat myself up over it. It's life, part of the game. Man, shit. I made all the tough catches there, and then the easy one I had, I dropped. It is what it is. Charge the game. Ain't nobody else fault but mine.
You able to move on from this and obviously not let it weigh down on your shoulders too much?
That game over with. Ain't nothing I can do about it, now.
Was it one of those where you just looked it in, or you?
I just dropped the ball. Yeah. Ain't no teaching on it. Just catch the ball. It's simple.
Do you like that in that moment they go to you?
Yeah, for sure. I was calling for it, and when they put in my hand, I gotta make the guy play.
Yeah, I think it's that simple. I do think watching it, and DeVonta wouldn't say it, like, maybe the pass could have been better. I do think there is a world where Kenny Pickett puts that maybe like a little more in front of him, not right in front of his face, makes it so he can just catch it like at his body, as opposed to make maybe a little higher up. Like, but ultimately it's a pass DeVonta has to catch. And he said that flat out. And he said there's no teaching point, that he just has to catch the ball. And he's right. I was listening to the 94 WIP post game show on the drive back, and I thought Jason Avant made an interesting point that maybe because it was Kenny Pickett and not Jalen Hurts, that he wasn't as used to that ball, like that type of pass, and it coming as hard, I guess I should say, like at him, as opposed to Jalen does throw a very catchable ball. Kenny Pickett does put a little more zip on it. So maybe that's it. But ultimately, it's a pass that he should catch. It's something that, as he's right, there's no teaching point. So it is what it is. But it really was kind of the last of what was a series of errors that really cost this team the game. So I asked Nick after the game, you know, it's pretty rare that a team scores 33 points with their backup and forces 5 turnovers and they lose the game. So like, what was his takeaway as to why they lost, or his biggest takeaway from the game? And he used a word I think really perfectly describes how the Eagles played on Sunday, and that was sloppy. So here's Nick talking about the loss.
Kind of a weird game where you scored 33 points with your backup, the defense forces 5 turnovers, but you still lose. Just curious what your biggest takeaway is from it.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I have to be able to watch the tape and tell you everything what happened, but just sloppy, sloppy with penalties, sloppy with too many men on the field, sloppy with our fundamentals. And when you play a good football team like we played today and you're sloppy regardless of how many turnovers you force, it's going to be hard to win. And I think, what I said to those guys is, like, when it's sloppy with every piece of that, that's always going to be on me as the head coach.
Yeah, I think sloppy is a perfect word to describe their play. Now, the good news about that is this is not a sloppy team. Like, they're just not. They've not made these kind of uncharacteristic mistakes all season. And that's why, ultimately, as I'm driving home from Washington, I'm thinking to myself, this is really just a one-off performance. I think they were due a sloppy performance. They did so many things that they don't normally do. And I can go through some of them right now. Like the fourth, so there's a 4th-and-11 play at the end of the third quarter. This defense has been getting off the field on third downs all season. They have not allowed big plays all season. 4th-and-11, Jaden Daniels runs up the middle. I think N'Kobe misses a tackle. Reed misses a tackle, and he gets a first down plus to extend the drive. Washington scores a touchdown there. The chances of the Eagles giving up a 4th-and-11, I think if they face that situation 10 times, at most the opposing team gets it 3 times. So I don't view giving up a 4th-and-11 play as a sign. It wasn't like that the year they couldn't get off the field on third down and they were continually having trouble getting off the field. That's not been an issue for this team. They've been really good at getting off the field. So that's a sloppy, uncharacteristic mistake by them to give that up. So that's number one. Then the Saquon drop. So Saquon, like Kenny Pickett hit Saquon with a perfect pass down the sideline. Or I should take that back. Was not a perfect pass. It was a catchable pass. I think, and I'm excited to rewatch the game today, but I do think that if Jalen threw that pass, you would probably say, you got to put that out ahead of him. You don't want him turning around. But it's the backup quarterback. So Saquon has to make that pass. Now, is Saquon dropping a pass uncharacteristic? I would not say it's uncharacteristic, but Saquon has been awesome all year. He's made a number of huge plays. So you would think more times than not, Saquon is going to catch that pass. And the other thing that really stood out to me that I don't think we touched on enough in the post-game pod was the substitution issue on the Lamide Zaccheaus 49-yard touchdown. So Darius Slay, as the play is starting, is running off the field. So they get a flag. So it's a free play. But regardless, Alameda Zaccheaus is standing there wide open. There have not been wide open receivers in this secondary all year, outside of maybe the Green Bay game. And there were a few in the Green Bay game, but like even Tampa Bay, guys weren't wide open. They were just dinking and dunking down the field. To give up a 49-yard touchdown is so out of character for this team. And to have substitution issues. Like, I remember last year, 2023, talking about substitution issues. Like, things on the sideline where people didn't really know what they were doing. Like, the packages weren't in correctly. Not this training camp, but the 2023 training camp, Nick slamming down his megaphone because they had so many substitution problems in practice. That's not what this team is. So to have a substitution problem is crazy. Like, that is very, very out of character for in my opinion, for this team. The interception by Kenny Pickett. So not out of character for Kenny Pickett. I do think Kenny Pickett is going to turn the ball over if he plays, you know, if he plays a lot of football, he's going to turn the ball over. But that's probably the worst interception thrown all year. Like, I would almost say by far. I can't think of a more just right to him interception that Jalen's thrown this year. Jalen has taken chances with the ball, like the Goddard interception in the end zone against Dallas. That's, you know, he takes a chance, he tries to squeeze it in there, it's intercepted. That's not, he was unaware of where the player was. And Kenny Pickett gave Frankie Louvu credit afterwards. He said that he thought that Frankie kind of took like steps towards Calcaterra, but then he dropped off and went to AJ. So Kenny thought that AJ was open. Good play by Frankie, but like Jalen hasn't thrown the ball right to a linebacker like that since last year against the Jets when he threw it right to him and they lost that game. So to lose over turnovers like is uncharacteristic for this team as well. That's not who they've been over the past 10 games. And obviously today on Sunday they were, but yeah, I thought that was uncharacteristic. Another uncharacteristic thing that I don't think is being talked about enough, but is like such a small thing, but it's ended up being such a big thing. So Reed Blankenship has the interception, right? The Eagles get the ball back. There's like a little under 3 minutes to play. And at that point, I think everybody thought it was over. They just had the interception. They're in the red zone, essentially, or at least they're very close. Like, they're good to go. 1st-and-10, Saquon Barkley, -3 yards. How many times this year has Saquon had a negative run? I'm sure it's happened, but like, I don't know, maybe 10% of his runs, if not way fewer. that percentage of his runs, almost always does he have some version of a hole to run through where he gets 4 or 5 yards. Even his bad runs are like 3 yards or 2 yards. But to get negative 3 yards on the first drive, now you're behind the sticks. You're 5 yards, you're 3 yards fewer, further away. On second down, they get an 8 yard completion to AJ. But because they lost 3 yards on the first down, that second down play is now you're in a third down situation. You're in the third and five. And obviously, that's when the pass is thrown to Devontae, and that's when obviously he drops it and the game ends. So, or at least the Eagles' chances of winning at that point before their defense got on the field ended. So just a series of very uncharacteristic mistakes. Like, I don't think there'll be many more runs this year where Saquon loses 3 yards on first down. I don't think Devontae will drop many more passes. I don't think they'll keep having substitution issues. I don't think Saquon's going to drop the majority of passes that come his way. I don't think the team is going to give up many fourth and 11s. I mean, they gave up, I think, 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. I would almost bet my life they won't give up 21 points in a quarter on defense via touchdown drives the rest of the season. Like, it was a very sloppy, uncharacteristic loss for this team. And that's why, driving home, I can't get worked up about it. If you want to say that they were too emotional, and that's maybe one thing we'll talk about in a second with Chauncey and Jalen Carter, like, maybe, but they're not going to play perfect football every week. They're going to lay duds. We've seen every team lays duds. Like, it just happens. Like, the Lions, you know, I think they only have 2 losses still, but like, they've not played great football over the past month. The Ravens lost to the Raiders this year. Like, good teams, the Chiefs almost lost to the Raiders, ironically, to bring the Raiders back. But like, teams have bad games. And so I don't view anything that happened in that game as a big picture negative. In fact, I would say a big picture positive, which we'll talk about, was like Kenny. So I feel pretty good about that game. I don't think Eagles fans, outside of just being annoyed and, you know, the fact Jalen got hurt, like, that is an annoying thing. They're not going to be the one seed. It is what it is. Guess what? They can go to Detroit and beat the Lions. So I wouldn't feel too negative about that game. I really think it was an uncharacteristic loss by the Eagles. So part of it, though, if you do want to point to one big picture thing that maybe could be a concern, like, for this team, they are a very emotional team on defense. They are on offense too, but like, on defense with Jalen Carter and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, they really have a ton of fire on that side of the ball. So Chauncey Gardner-Johnson gets 2 unsportsmanlike conducts, both for things that he said. So afterwards, there was a pool report. So NFL referee Sean Smith said, talking about Chauncey, he's basically taunting the opponent on the second foul. He already had a first one earlier in the game that we had announced as his first towards disqualification. So this became his second. He was taunting the player, so that's a disqualification by rule. Pretty rare to see a player kicked out of a game for 2 different fouls for things he said. Not like a late hit, not like throwing a punch. In fact, Chauncey got punched on one of them. So, you know, I don't know what Chauncey said. Chauncey didn't speak in the locker room after. He did tweet that he thought it was unfair. He was thrown out. Not surprised there. I'm sure he does feel that way. The one thing I think that you could maybe look at from this game and go, okay, like, this is something to monitor, is they do push the edge a little bit with like the unsportsmanlike conducts and the emotion. And you do wonder if Washington came in that game thinking they could get under their skin. You look at last week against Pittsburgh, Slay gets in a fight with Washington, the entire team's there, like Quinion threw a punch and like somehow didn't get disqualified. Today, Jalen Carter gets an unsportsmanlike conduct, and you could say it's a soft unsportsmanlike conduct, but he still pushes the guy, like, for no reason. Essentially, he pushes the guy. The late hit that Milton Williams got called for, I thought that was a fine call. Like, I it's today's NFL. Like, he extends his arms and pushes Jaden Daniels after the ball is thrown. Chauncey gets thrown out for, like, essentially taunting the other player. Now, was it one-sided? Of course not. Like, Washington was in on it, but I think Washington knew they could get under the Eagles' skin. So that is the one thing I would monitor from this, is like, the playoffs are going to be emotional. There are going to be big time moments in the playoffs where it's tense and players are talking between plays. And it would be a real shame to see the Eagles lose a game because of like personal fouls and losing their cool. So that is one thing I would keep an eye on. The other thing I was thinking while driving home from Washington is, so obviously 3rd and 5, they throw the ball to Devontae. He doesn't catch it. Drop. At this point, it is 4th and 5 with 2:02 to play, and the Eagles are up 2 points. Excuse me. In the moment, I did not think Sirianni should have gone for it on 4th and 5. But now, like, outside of the heat of the moment and an ability to look at it, I'll ask you guys, do you think he should have gone for it on 4th and 5? So the upside is he just got Devontae wide open over the middle. Clear. Like, I thought that Kenny actually did a good job on big plays throughout the game. Like, he had the touchdown pass to AJ. He had a big run on 3rd and 15 where he almost got the first down. He had a few, I thought, nice completions. He had the 4th down completion. So on 4th and 5, you could go for it. If you go for it and you don't get it, they need a field goal to win, but there's less time. Like, who knows, right? Maybe, I'm sorry, there's more time. Maybe you get the ball back on the other side, or you could just flat out end the game right there. I understand not going for it because it is Kenny Pickett and you do make it a 5-point game instead of a 2-point game. But all season, like, one of the reasons for being aggressive was that the defense was playing awesome. Defense wasn't playing that awesome like today. They did force some turnovers, but they had given up, at that point, 14 points in the fourth quarter. Ultimately, they end up obviously giving up more points after that drive. I think going for it on fourth is more of a decision than maybe it's being discussed. I think there was real logic to going for it on fourth down, ending the game there, showing faith in your players. Like, defense wasn't playing great. I think it's something he should have considered. Now, I don't think it's a slam dunk. I'll be curious to hear what you guys think about it, but I think he should have considered going for it there. So, honestly, something also uncharacteristic in this game, Nick not being aggressive in those spots. So, on the other side, I want to talk a little bit more about how Kenny Pickett played, Kenny talking about his play, and also Nick, and Saquon says something interesting about how Kenny about Kenny Pickett in the run game. So, first, a word from our sponsors, and then some more talk about Kenny Pickett. So when I said that I thought there were more net positives from this game than there was negatives, that really starts with Kenny Pickett. And we will definitely talk this week about the Jalen Hurts of it all. I think there's a really interesting discussion to be had, and I'm sure that discussion will be had about Jalen's value. And I'll be clear off the jump. I thought Sunday's game showed how valuable Jalen Hurts is. I think they win that game if Jalen Hurts is a quarterback. But other people will point and go, they scored, you know, whatever it is, 26 points after Jalen left, like all those things. So I'm looking forward to having that discussion this week. But what I do think is a major positive, and I sense this in the locker room, being around the offensive players, is that they move the ball with Kenny Pickett. And coming into this game, if you would have asked people how would they play with Kenny Pickett, I do think people would have had questions. Now, they were not great, to be clear. Like, Kenny Pickett had less than 200 yards passing. Saquon struggled to run the ball, which we'll talk about in a second. Excuse me, but they still scored quite a bit of points, and they still moved the ball for the most part when they had to, and especially when you consider the Devontae and Saquon drops, like, he should have had more passing yards. And even though he'd less than 200 yards, there was a chunk full of yards there to AJ on pass interferences that you could argue should count towards yards completed. So I think that seeing Kenny operate the offense at a high level or a high-ish level, I think, is a major positive for this team. So Nick was asked about how he thought Kenny Pickett played, and here's what Nick had to say.
Your first impressions about Kenny played, how he persevered in a difficult circumstance?
Yeah, I think he did some nice things. Again, we'll have to look at the tape and kind of see everything. But he did some nice things. I think on that last drive when we're down, I believe it was 1 point, really good job by him on 2 fourth-down conversions. Smitty made 2 big plays on that drive, or made a big play on the 4th-down conversion. AJ made the other one where he was able to slip it, but Kenny was under control and you know, did some nice things today.
It's definitely tough when you're a backup quarterback just to come in. I know all week he prepares like he's a starter. I get all that. It's a really tough thing to do. I thought it was interesting hearing from Kenny after the game. He said him, AJ, and Devontae talked out after almost every series, you know, kind of figuring out what they want to do, how they could, you know, stuff they could work on that they hadn't before. So I think like the reps that Kenny got with the team are very valuable. I heard AJ talking about it and saying that while they didn't win, and obviously they wish they could have played better, getting those reps with Kenny, if he does have to go in again, and let's be real, he could, if he had to go in again, like getting those reps with Kenny is a really big deal. So I think it's a major net positive that Kenny played well and got reps. Look, obviously they should have won the game. Obviously you wish they would have won the game, and you wish Jalen didn't get a concussion. But in a world where Jalen is out of the game, it could have been a lot worse. Like, there's a real world where at the end of this game, we're sitting there and going, yeah, they're never going to win anything with Kenny Pickett. Do I think they can make a Super Bowl run with Kenny Pickett? No, probably not. But do I think if they are up 8 points in a playoff game, Kenny could come in and guide them home? I think there's a chance of that, for sure. So the other thing that I thought was interesting, Kenny Pickett. Well, first, let me say this. Let me play Kenny. So here's what Kenny had to say about how he played and how whether he thought this was like these were valuable reps for him.
Game action for a while, sort of this different situation, you know, Jalen going down. How would you assess the way he played?
I have to go back and watch it, but there's definitely plays that I want back, and I know that we want back as a team. You know, you have to give credit to them. They played really hard as well. It came down to the wire, but there's things that, you know, changes games, you know, long before you get to the end of the game, you know, so it's, you know, we got to kind of go back and look at those and see what we all can improve on and move on.
So the last thing I wanted to say about Kenny, and I'm excited to dive into a rewatch of his game and talk to you guys about it, is I think what you saw today was the value Jalen Hurts brings in the running game. So Kenny Pickett comes in and Saquon finishes the first quarter with like 109 yards and two touchdowns. And one of those touchdowns is obviously a huge long run with Kenny in the game. So those count as yards with Kenny in the game. But after the first quarter, so he's 109 yards in the first quarter, he gets 41 yards the rest of the game. Now I know, you know, the 68 yards count with Kenny, but it's one play. He had just came in. I don't think the defense had fully adjusted yet. Once the defense adjusted to Kenny being in the game, they were not able to run the ball. And Saquon certainly did not blame Kenny for that at all, but he was talking about it and said, like, a lot of their running stuff is built around Jalen. And that's a key point with Jalen we don't often bring up enough, how much he helps Saquon Barkley in the running game. Not just as, like, the rushing yards Jalen gets, but just the pure threat that he's a plus one in the running game. Kenny can move. He can move better than, I wouldn't even say most quarterbacks, but he is certainly a mobile quarterback that can get yards. He is not the runner that Jalen is. Like that third and 15 where Kenny got like 11 yards, got hit, and the flag got picked up, I think Jalen gets a first down on that. So that would be my concern. I think that Kenny threw the ball like pretty well. I didn't think his accuracy was great. I do think like his ball placement is not as good as Jalen's, but he completed like a few big plays. The fourth down throw, you know, there was a few third downs in there. He got the touchdown to AJ, the first third down when he comes into the game. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he comes in the game first play is a third down and he throws for a completion and then he throws for a touchdown. Like he definitely had some positives. I didn't think he dealt with pressure well. It felt like he didn't feel pressure coming. It felt like the blitz protections were not as good without Jalen in there. But the main concern I would have if Kenny Pickett had to play an extended amount of time is that it was harder for them to run the ball without Jalen in there. And that's an important thing when you talk about Jalen's value to the team. And let's be honest, like Jalen probably should have been in the MVP discussion all year based off the fact that he left and they immediately lost the game he wasn't in. So that'll do it for today's Daily Pod. I hope you all enjoy your Monday. I know it's a loss, but I think you should feel better than like you probably did after the Carolina game, and that's a game they won. So assuming everyone plays this upcoming Sunday, even if they don't, they should probably win that game fairly easily against the Cowboys. And we're getting closer. Only two more regular season games left. That's truly so wild to say. It feels like I was just tracking a historic training camp just a few days ago. But Until next time, I love you all. I hope you all enjoy your Christmas week. Clearly, I will keep talking to you at the Daily Pods. They don't stop every day this week. Daily Pods. It's almost playoff time. I will not be stopping. So, talk to you guys later. Until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Peace.